Hey everyone, welcome back to Women's Wellness Radio. Happy New Year. We were a little deliciously lazy over December break and we didn't record any shows the last couple weeks of December, but we are back in business for 2015. We've got four guests scheduled this month, and our guest today is a friend of mine named Nina Price, and we'll meet her in a second. Today's theme is perimenopause and menopause and being in that phase of life with grace and ease and health. So I myself turned 40 last year and I had to go through some of the realizations and reassessments and all that good stuff that come with that age. Maybe not for everyone, that's a big landmark, but for me it was. It was definitely like a little tumultuous, but now that I'm on the other side, I'm like, okay, you know, life still goes on. I didn't like expire at 40, and you know, I still have great habits and great friends, and I still have a lot of life left to live. So our aim today is really to help you through that phase of life, and frankly, to remind ourselves that it happens and it might be happening sooner than you think. We're going to talk more about some of the details, but our guest today, Nina, talks about midlife denial. You know, are you embracing the changes in your body and your spirit and your knowledge and moving forward with that, or are you, you know, turning a blind eye to all that? So it's going to be a good show. And let me tell you about our guest. So Nina Price creates simple, natural solutions for midlife women so they can wow the world as they never have. She is a licensed acupuncturist and success coach for midlife women. She helps women over 40 push the reset button on their health and the rest of their lives so they can have midlife without crisis. With an MBA from the University of Michigan, she is a former Silicon Valley high-tech marketing exec who after 20 years in the computer industry learned that it was time to do something new. In 2001, she pushed her own reset button and reinvented herself as a board-certified healthcare professional so she could serve other women as they tackle the transformations that come with midlife. Welcome, Nina.
Thanks. It's a pleasure to be here.
Pleasure to have you. And a little background is Nina's in California. I'm in Oregon, and we were together in a business development program for a couple of years, so I know her, and I know she is really a fierce advocate for midlife women, and frankly, there aren't a lot of those out there.
Thank you for saying that. I agree with that. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you my story about turning 40. When I turned 40, I don't know, I had this funny feeling, and I couldn't put words to it, and my friends tried to help me put words to it. And one day I kind of blurted out, you know, I know what youth is wasted on the young means now, and I didn't used to know that. That must mean I'm old. So I just felt like something had shifted, and years later, other shifts have happened, and I'm still sort of remembering that shift. It was a big one, and it doesn't have to be a bad one, but it's just kind of something happens at that time, and it's good to notice those things.
Yeah, well said. We don't want to say, oh, you turn 40, it's so negative, you know, but it is a change, and to say, like, oh, I'm the same as I was when I was 20, I don't know if anyone can biologically say that's true. You know, we have the same biology we've had with, you know, very few changes for thousands of years. So things in our biology just change. You know, we're programmed for a certain lifetime. And yeah. So I would love for Nina, for, you know, people kind of hear the word menopause and it's tossed around, and maybe they hear the term perimenopause. How would you define those two things, and when would you say those stages happen or could happen?
Well, it happens differently for every single woman. There are no two women who've had menopause exactly the same way. And people want it to be But think about when you had your period. I mean, it wasn't the same for you and the girl next door and your cousin and your sister and everybody else. It's the same thing with menopause. It's different for everybody. Everybody has their own experience of it. And you're considered menopausal when you haven't had a period for 12 months. And I'll tell you a very silly story for me. I hadn't had a period for 12 months, and I was like, finally, done. And we went on vacation, and all of a sudden, I got a period. And it was like, what? Does this mean I have to wait a whole another 12 months? Well, no, it didn't. That was it. It was just my body sticking its tongue out at me. Just going, nah, nah, nah. You think you're done? Ha, ha, ha. We'll show you. So, you know, your body does. One of the things that I will say is, you know you're in midlife when you're doing the things you've always done. You know, you're eating the way you always have, but now you're gaining weight. Or you're trying to sleep or get away without sleeping the way you always have, and now you can't get away with those things anymore. So one of the things I really noticed big time when I got into my 40s was I was trying to live the way I always had. But all of a sudden, my body would be doing things that was saying, you can't get away with this anymore. Start paying attention. And it was like, sure, I can get away with these things. No, you can't. And that was sort of the subtle, unspoken dialogue with my body. And it might not start at 40. It might start at 45, 6, 7, 8. I mean, everybody's different. And for some women, I've known women who were going into perimenopause in their late 30s. I don't know why, but they were. And women can become menopausal at many ages. I know women, as I said, who've started into that process in their 30s, in their 40s, in their late 50s. And, you know, there's no one right way. They say the typical age for menopause is early 50s, but I've seen everything. It's all over the map.
Yeah, that's really interesting. And, you know, I think there's our genetics, and then there's also external influences. You know, I had a lot of period changes in the last couple of years, but I also was having a lot of stress in my life. So how much of it was perimenopause? How much was, you know, adrenal exhaustion? It can be hard to say. So sometimes you think, oh, I'm going into menopause. Well, maybe there's just some, you know, maybe or maybe not. This could be some things to work on, too.
Exactly. And that's a lot of what I see in my practice, honestly, Bridget. You know, people who are coming in and saying, this and this and this is happening. Is this menopause or is there something else I need to pay attention to? Well, in some cases, it's menopause and. Sometimes it's menopause or. It just depends on the person. We also, a lot of things start to catch up with us. You know, as women, we have high stress lives. You know, we have families, we have jobs, we have responsibilities in our communities. Sometimes we're self-employed. All of those take a lot out of us. Our commutes, our mother-in-laws, I mean, you name it. And that stress kind of catches up because the stress, I see a lot of women who are low on serotonin and they're depressed and they're sugar craving and they're seasonal affective and all of those things. And sometimes it's just we need to build up their serotonin reserves because they're just tired and they've depleted through lots of stress their serotonin reserves. So each woman is different, and each woman's situation has to be looked at differently. There are people who have had headaches all their life, and then they become menopausal and they go away, or the reverse happens. They've never had headaches, and they become menopausal, and all of a sudden they have headaches that they didn't have. So it's very parallel to being a teenager, except it's more interesting because we have more complex lives. When you're a teenager, okay, you start having a period and you start having to deal with the whole issue, all the issues around being a woman and fertility and so on. But when you're in menopause, very often you have a family, kids are starting to head out, go to college, parents are starting to pass on, sometimes marriages are breaking up, and to me, that's what really causes the stress around menopause, and some women just don't feel so well. So I often say that my midlife crisis had nothing to do with menopause. It had to do with changing relationships in my life, which I found more stressful, honestly. And
yeah, and I would add to that list, you know, at least for me, like in midlife, you know, that typical midlife crisis, you buy a sports car. I mean, why does some of that stuff happen? Like, you know, for me, I was like, you know, I was really assessing, like, where am I in life? Am I where I want to be? Who do I want to be, you know, for the rest of my life, so to speak? And that is a kind of a stressor in a way, and it happens around midlife sometimes.
Absolutely. And I would say the who am I now question and who do I want to be now, those are the real questions of midlife. And frankly, to me, that's the fun place to work. I mean, I'm a coach. I'm trained as a coach as well as an acupuncturist. And to me, those are the great questions. It's like, who am I now that my kids are gone? And who can I be now that I have the extra time? Or who am I now that my parents have passed on and I don't have to worry about them, and maybe they've left me a little bit of money and maybe I now have some freedom I never had?
Mm.
Or who am I now that my husband has taken a hike with his red convertible? You know, I see a lot of women where long-time relationships have broken up at this time for various reasons. Sometimes the kids leave and the parents realize that, well, you know, we raised the kids, but we're done. And
yeah,
so the woman says to herself, okay, who am I now? Some women weren't planning to be working at this time in life and they just plain have to. Or I've seen lots of women, certainly in my area, where they've been laid off and their career is basically gone. And it's like, who am I now? What am I doing now? My career is in the tank. I can't do what I've always done to make a living, or maybe I've never had to make a living, but now I have to. Who am I now? What do I do? And those are really good questions to ask. And I think midlife is a big time of reassessment. And that reassessment is probably one of the most valuable things you can do, is reassess. Just like you said yourself, who am I now? And who do I want to be? And what do I want my life to be like? I've checked certain boxes, but I know there's more. And what does that more look like? So that reassessment throughout midlife is one of the most valuable and positive things that everyone can do, men, women, et cetera.
I love it. Yeah, and I want to circle back later to kind of the health nitty-gritty. So if you're listening to the show and you're like, I thought they were going to talk about solutions for hot flashes, like, we're going to circle back to health, but since we're talking about these bigger issues, I'm going to kind of roll with that. I love the idea of, I love any self-evaluation assessment, to be honest. And sometimes in midlife, you know, maybe you've been busy with kids or busy with your career, and you know, now you're like, it's a time to assess, you know, is this what I wanted? Is this what I want to keep doing? And, you know, me and I work a lot with fertility. Sometimes you're like, I'm in midlife. I thought I'd be a mom by now. You know, can I make this happen? Will it happen? It's a big thing to wrestle with. It's a big potential change in identity if you end up, you know, not having kids or adopting or whatever it may be. So give me some tips or ideas on how to go about this self-assessment. What are some different tools or resources we could bring in at this point?
Well, a good coach is great. And I'm sure you coach lots of women on these issues. I certainly do. sometimes just having someone to talk about, vent those feelings. Take them out, look at them, write them down, get some perspective. And very often, people I work with are needing to do this because they need to come up with a new career for themselves, or they need to come up with better health for themselves so that they can continue to soldier on. And I love to look at the whole picture. I would say that I'm a professional problem solver. I as a kid, I was the kid who always got the right answer but didn't always use the right process. And I used to get in trouble for that all the time. And now I think it's one of my strongest assets, is that I can look at a problem and I can look at it many different ways. And I'm sure you do this as a health practitioner. People come to you when everybody else hasn't been able to give them an answer, and you look at the situation and you see something that nobody else sees. And to me, that is one of the most valuable things that I can do for someone, is look at their problem differently and offer them a new path of inquiry that they hadn't considered.
That's very true. You know, someone else can see where we're hiding out quite a bit easier. And a professional, I think, is sometimes important. I see a lot of women, especially around fertility and midlife, you know, they're really struggling to have that the right kind of conversation that they want to get with their husband. And, you know, he's not trained in professional midlife advice. So finding someone who does have experience with it, I think, can be a huge, huge help.
And sometimes husbands need a little encouragement, too, because they're noticing changes in their body. And men are so out of touch with their bodies in general that they get very worried. Oh, my doctor says I'm low T. I need to take hormone therapy. Well, do you really need to take hormone therapy? I'm always fond of telling men that they really need to think twice before doing hormone therapy, because if they have any insulin resistance at all, they may be aromatizing their testosterone, which is turning it into estrogen. And they go, what? I could be turning my testosterone into estrogen? It's like, well, I hope you aren't, but for some people, yes, that does happen. Oh, my gosh. They get so worried. And people are, as long as we're talking about hormone replacement therapy, I'm just going to make a point. And that is, really use that as a last resort. In general, doctors are so quick to tell you to replace hormones. But when you replace hormones, your body says, oh, well, I'm getting the hormone this way. I don't have to make it anymore. I don't really have to try to make it. And what we want is for the body to continue naturally making hormones and all other things. But particularly hormones, really consider hormone replacement therapy of any sort as a last resort. There's so many things you can do before you get there.
Okay, so this is good. We're kind of circling back to the health aspect and some possible solutions. Before we get into some solutions, let's talk about symptoms. So something I wanted to mention or share was, a lot of my clients will come in and say, oh, you know, yeah, I have PMS, but that's like normal for me. I have that every month. Or, you know, I have menstrual headaches. There's nothing I can do about it.
And you say, menstrual headaches are not normal. PMS is not normal, right? I know you say this.
Yeah,
I do.
I just kind of wanted to give my... So, yeah, tell us the list. Like, are any symptoms normal in menopause or not?
No, everybody has their own constellation of symptoms. I mean, I've met women who swear up and down they've never had a hot flash in their life. And I say, good for you, because that's not my favorite part. There are women who've never had hot flashes. And yet, there are women who've had some fairly bizarre symptoms. There's a website, actually, and I can't remember the exact name, but it's like 30 menopause symptoms. and it goes through all kinds of them. And there's some fairly bizarre ones that have to do with numbness in hands. Well, that's a symptom I have. It's like, oh, really? That's a menopause symptom? Very cool. Now I know why I have it. Because I never had it before I was close to menopause. And I always wondered about that. So, yeah, that website is a lot of fun, and it's worth it to take a look at the symptoms. So women often have hot flashes. Women have night sweats. Women have headaches when they never have. Women have brain fog. And then women have other unique symptoms to them. A lot of women have sleep problems. I've noticed a lot of people in our society have sleep problems. But women's sleep problems in menopause have to do with staying asleep, not going to sleep. Most women can go to sleep okay, but they have trouble staying asleep. And there are great formulas for that. I mean, I'm sure you prescribe herbal formulas. I know I do. And there are very simple solutions to a lot of these problems that work very well. I have a client who came recently, and I talked to her, and she was having hot flashes. And I said, you know, there is one formula that is like you're a textbook case for. And I gave her the formula, and guess what? The hot flashes went away. Well, she ran out of the formula and forgot to let me know in time, and I had to order some. And I said, you know, I'm going to give you another formula, and it probably won't work as well, but it should help in the interim. And she came back and she said, oh, yeah, that formula really didn't work. And I said, well, I told you it wouldn't because you're a textbook case for this other formula. So each person has their own constellation of symptoms. And as Chinese medicine practitioners, Bridget and I look for patterns. And we match the patterns that we see going on in your body to solutions, to herbal solutions, to acupuncture solutions, to diet solutions. And we tell you, you know, here's what I'm seeing and here's what you should do. And no two women are the same. Okay. One woman's hot flashes are not the same as another. I mean, I had a woman who had horrendous night sweats. I mean, she was soaked every day, and I found a formula that worked great for her, but it didn't work great for somebody else. I had a woman who had incredible endometriosis. She'd had it her whole life. She'd had a hysterectomy. She'd had a piece of her intestine surgically removed, and she still had these horrible searing pains. And I found a formula that got rid of her searing pain. So she wasn't in pain anymore. I was like, wow, who am I now that I don't have searing pain all the time? Wow, this is a miracle. So it's really paying attention to the patterns we see and matching the solution to what we see in your unique situation. And that's not news to you. That's what you do all day long.
So yes, Nina, that kind of goes back to what you said earlier about these and or symptoms of perimenopause. You know, symptoms you're having could be hormone related plus digestion, or hormone related plus adrenals, or it could be, you know, just adrenals. So it's a little complicated, and we definitely encourage you to see a practitioner. Don't think these symptoms are easy peasy and just pick up a couple things from Whole Foods. You know, it's a good time to invest in yourself with a practitioner to unravel what's going on for you. But that being said, go ahead.
I so agree with that. Thank you for saying that. Many people feel like there's something wrong, you know, but what is it? Or they just have a lot of questions and don't know who to ask. So that's where we come in.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I wanted to also just give some general takeaways for our listeners. I think there are some rules to follow, so to speak, that anyone could benefit from. And I thought that you and I could just bounce some ideas off each other, like, oh, this is what I commonly recommend. Does that sound good?
Sure.
Okay. You get the ball rolling.
Oh, I get to start. Okay. Well, okay. So I feel like one of the most important things you can do for yourself at this age is to become a master of self-care. And that means that you really actually have to put yourself first for a change. And it's so hard for so many of us to do that. We're so busy fixing everybody else's problems, our kids, our parents, our neighbors, our bosses, our coworkers, our community, whatever it is. But if you don't learn to take care of yourself in midlife, when will you learn to do it? When your body's all falling apart. Do it now. Get used to really taking care of yourself. And take this period of time to teach yourself some new ways of self-care. You know, what could you be doing? People think, oh, getting my hair cut is self-care. Oh, getting my nails done is self-care. Oh, getting an occasional massage. Now we're getting closer. But what about getting a good night's sleep? What about eating well at every meal? What about drinking enough water? What about getting regular checkups, whether it's dental checkups, eye checkups, annual physicals, mammograms, whatever it is you need to do to feel like you know what's going on? And, of course, check in with yourself.
Yeah, that's great. Just the foundation, staying hydrated, getting enough sleep, eating well. And that's a good point, too. It's like, don't think that you're going to come out on the other side of this and feel like you're young again. Like, if you don't take care of this now, you're going to feel quite a bit worse when you're 10 years from now. So this is the time. You know, if you're getting symptoms now, it's time to address them. Yeah, I'll piggyback that a bit with a few specific things I recommend. So avoiding alcohol and sugar is very important to protect your progesterone, that second phase of the cycle. Getting enough healthy fats, and getting your coconut oil and your, you know, cooking meats with the fats on, having some raw nuts is a great way. You know, this may be a time in your life where you're watching your weight, but to watch your weight by having kind of fad diets is not the way. You still need a moderate amount of healthy fats. And definitely moving your body is so important at this time in your life. That helps you clear toxins, helps you balance your mood, helps you feel sexier, raises testosterone. So those are a few I'd add to the list.
And don't forget coffee.
Caffeine. What about it?
Okay. On your list of things that your body can do well with.
Okay.
Without.
Okay. I was like, you're not going to tell us to drink coffee, are you?
No.
No, yeah, definitely.
No.
Yeah, any type of caffeine stimulates your adrenals, raises your blood sugar, and those blood sugar roller coasters are going to cause symptoms for you and screw up your hormones. So, yeah, if you're feeling tired, know that's just another symptom that means you need to take care of yourself better.
Absolutely. And let's talk about sleep. I mean, sleep can be the bane of many women's existence in midlife.
Yeah, I think you said earlier you see more women with the problem of not staying asleep.
Yes, I do.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Oh, yeah, do you have some starter tips for that woman?
For staying asleep. Well,
yeah.
Some of it is hormonal, I think, for women in midlife, the staying asleep, because they're up. Sometimes they're up with palpitations. Sometimes they're up with hot flashes or night sweats or night terrors. I've seen all of that. And sometimes it's just they don't have refreshing sleep. They don't sleep deeply enough to get really refreshed. When they wake up in the morning, it's like, yeah, I've slept all these hours, but I don't feel like I'm really rested. And some women wake up just feeling completely trashed, even though they've slept. And that's usually an adrenal problem.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm careful to test for that as well. Testing adrenals is sometimes a really good idea. Let me see. Besides that, of course, going to sleep, I always remind people, you know, alcohol before bed is not a really winning combination. People say, oh, but it relaxes me. Yeah, but, you know, it will get you up at 2 o'clock in the morning. I've seen plenty of people who drink before bed, you know, the traditional nightcap, and they're up at 2. So I think there is a correlation there. Things to do. If you're going to take melatonin, take it when the sun goes down. Melatonin is really good at adjusting circadian rhythms, and I heard the other day that it actually may be cancer preventative. I don't know if that's true, but yeah.
Yeah, I've got a few ideas I can throw in there, too. As far as stabilizing blood sugar overnight, besides avoiding alcohol at night, also avoid that big bowl of ice cream. It's going to throw off your blood sugar. The fat in there is good for stabilizing, but the sugar is not so much. So if you want a snack before bed, which actually can be a fit for a lot of people if you're, you know, hypoglycemic, then have like have some almond butter with a, you know, a couple slices of apple, or have some trail mix, or have some beef jerky or something like that. Something that's going to steady your blood sugar overnight can be helpful.
And give you some protein. Yep.
Yeah, yeah. A lot of that wavering overnight that wakes you up is your blood sugar crashing and then coming back up again. Another couple things I like are minerals at night, multi-minerals, like a mineral complex is kind of calming for your body and nerves. You can use a gelatin powder at night, make a little drink. The grass-fed gelatin, that has a lot of calming amino acids in it. And there's a compound called L-theanine. It's sounding green tea. We don't really want you to have green tea at night, but you can take it as a supplement, and it's calming. There are herbs like valerian that are calming. Everybody's a little different on what fits best for their body. So it's just, you know, just try one of those, one at a time, of those ideas to help you relax at night.
Absolutely. And valerian has different effects on different people. My grandmother always took valerian drops for her nerves. But some people, it hypes them up.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're all so unique. You know, there isn't one good solution for everyone, and that's why I often say in my practice, just try one thing at a time to see if it's a fit for you, rather than try 5 things and then feel like nothing worked.
Exactly. Exactly.
Cool. Those are lots of good ideas. Do you have anything else you want to add, or
should
we move on?
There's a product. You talked about theanine. There's a product called Theanine Serene that I like.
Oh, I haven't heard of that one.
Yep. It's newer, new-ish.
Okay. Okay. Cool.
Okay.
Well, let's talk about another issue.
Well, before we get there, I just want
to
reference something. I posted a quote on Facebook the other day on my Midlife Without Crisis Facebook page, which you're all welcome to like. And the quote says, "And I said to my body softly, I want to be your friend. It took a long breath and replied, I have been waiting my whole life for this." And bottom line is, befriend your body. Your body needs you to be on its team, not working against it. And things you can do to be working with it is listen to it, take care of it, cultivate it.
That's great. Yeah, that just kind of slowed down the pace of the conversation besides, you know, just throwing supplements down our throat. Yeah, you can just tune in. What do I need right now?
Your body usually knows, actually. It's just tuning in. What is it do you need?
That's great. So another problem, so to speak, in midlife can be our self-image. I sort of mentioned this in the beginning. Can be our external self-image about how we look or how we perceive ourselves at this stage in life, how we think other people may perceive us. where should we start if we're having some feelings of, you know, depression or self-doubt at this stage in our lives?
Well, self-care. if you're feeling funny about how you show up or how people are treating you, and there's plenty of reason for that. Lots of women are losing their jobs due to age discrimination or not being hired for jobs due to age discrimination. That's a big issue. The best thing you can do is to prove their stereotypes wrong. So if people think that older people can't keep up with younger people, show them that you can. If older people think that you're not technical enough, well, learn some things so that you can. I'm sorry, if younger hiring managers think that you're not technical enough, well, prove them wrong. So the more you can defeat the common stereotypes about older workers, and if you need help finding out what those are, I've actually written about this a bit, and I'd be happy to point you to some stuff you can read. But if you're feeling invisible, and a lot of women say, oh, you know, it used to be I'd walk into the room and I'd get all these stares and I'd get all this attention, and now I don't anymore. Well, okay, what is it you really want? Do you still want that? Or perhaps do you just want to be acknowledged? Do you want people to listen to what you have to say? You can't turn the clock back to the point that you look like you did when you were 20. I mean, we all look at pictures of ourselves when we were 20. Did I really look like that? I was looking at pictures the other day. Did I really look like that? Apparently I did. And apparently you did too. But the real issue is, you know, how can you look your best at any age? Maybe you need to revamp your skincare routine. For men, one of the biggest things that causes men to look old is they don't take care of their skin. Most women are much better about taking care of their skin. You know, maybe it's your hair color. Maybe it's the way you dress. Maybe, you know, you really haven't spent any time shopping for yourself because you've been so busy taking care of other people, or because you haven't had the money, or whatever excuse it is. Maybe you need one or two up-to-date outfits that you can wear, because I think oftentimes it's how you feel. I know that when I'm going to give a talk to a group of people, and my hair is done just so, and my makeup is done just so, and I love what I'm wearing, I feel great. I really feel good about myself. And sometimes it's just doing the basics and really, really putting yourself together and noticing that people will say, wow, I really like your hair. I really like your hair color. I really like what you have on. And sometimes that can do a lot to help how you feel. But you also have to step up and really do a little bit of work. And maybe you want to consult a stylist. Maybe your colors are off. Maybe your hair color has changed and you're still wearing colors that worked with your old hair color. Or maybe all kinds of things have changed and you're just wearing clothes that don't flatter you. Be sure that everything you wear is flattering. I know I had to really make a shift to wearing different colors. And I had to give up some of my favorite older colors, and it really did make a difference. You know, when you're wearing your hair color and your eye color, people notice you. So it's just paying attention to things that when you're younger, you just plain didn't have to pay attention to in the same way. Now, it might take you a little longer to get ready in the morning. I'm always grousing about that. It takes so long. If I really want to get my hair and my makeup and everything just right, it takes so long to get ready. But, yeah, the payoff is that people will listen to you differently. People will look at you differently. And, you know, that makes a difference. So just a few thoughts. Any thoughts you have, Bridget? or questions you have?
No, I think that was all great, and just kind of thinking how these different elements tie together. And one way that it ties together is if you don't feel healthy and you don't have your energy, sometimes you don't put in the energy to look your best or learn a new skill or, you know, whatever it is that kind of keeps you vital in the workplace and your community. So taking care of this health piece can really boost the rest of it, right?
Absolutely. And you talked about depression, and I didn't really answer that. So here's my feeling about depression. People get depressed at any age, and women particularly get depressed. Men do too, but women definitely are more honest about it. And I would say that, you know, there are a lot of, if you don't like to take pharmaceuticals, there are non-pharmaceutical ways to get rid of depression. And I certainly am a big proponent of that, and I have worked with lots of people and gotten them through depressions without taking any depressants. So if that's an issue for you, that's definitely something you should see a practitioner about. And
yeah.
I'd be happy to talk to anybody who wants to talk about how to do that. That would be great.
Yeah, that's good advice. And, you know, one time I heard the expression that depressed could also translate into deep rest. And sometimes it's just that you need a little evaluation time. And I feel like that's what I went through when I turned 40. And, you know, I had to just reevaluate. It was just something that came up for me. And maybe it doesn't come up for everyone at 40. Maybe for other people it's at this age or this stage. But, you know, it was just a time for me to look inward, and there's sort of nothing wrong with that. It can be quite fruitful.
Absolutely. So looking inward could have to do with tuning into your body, but it could also have to do with ditching some stuff that doesn't serve you anymore. One of the things I noticed in my 40s and 50s and so on is that there are a lot of things that I used to do earlier in life that I don't care about anymore for whatever reason. Maybe you've gotten really good at doing something and it's not interesting anymore. Or maybe, you know, you were busy raising kids of a certain age and now your kids aren't that age anymore, so you don't care about whatever it is. Or maybe it's you've moved on, you know. The people you used to do something that was, I think sometimes we say, like, the people I used to drink with in college, I'm not interested in hanging out with them anymore because all they're interested in is getting drunk. And maybe even still at this age, they're not taking care of their health, and now I want to be more health conscious. Or, yeah, I used to be a party person, and now I'm done with that. Or whatever it is, maybe you've outgrown your career, maybe you've outgrown some of your friends, maybe you've outgrown some of the other people in your life, maybe you've outgrown your job, maybe you need a new career, maybe you want to cultivate new interests. Whatever it is, notice that, because I call this thing ditch what no longer serves you. So what is it, what's one thing you could ditch in your life and you'd be fine?
Yeah.
Could be a habit, could be whatever. In my case, I ditched a career that I was done with. It was a whole way of life that I was done with. And I got a lot healthier, and I'm pretty grateful for that. I also discovered I had new talents that I had no clue I had. No clue. And here I was in my 40s. I thought, oh, well, I know what I'm good at. No, new skills, new talents. And you might discover that you have new talents that you had no clue you had, and you might really enjoy developing those talents, either in the form of, you know, what you do for a living or even as a hobby or whatever.
Yeah. I definitely have lost interest in drinking, and that could, you know, I want to encourage everyone that that's an okay thing. There's lots of ways to have fun. There's lots of new ways to have fun. You know, every stage in our life is different. You know, many of us are mothers, and your life changes quite a bit when you become a mother. Right? it changes quite a bit when you, take on a more challenging career. It's, life changes, but it doesn't mean that you're giving anything up. It just means you're getting something new.
Absolutely. And I became a grandmother in my early 40s, and I was not happy about that. I remember I wrote a short story called The Concept Sucks, because that's about how I felt about being a grandmother in my early 40s.
Yeah. Yeah, every stage has its adjustments, but then you learn to enjoy the next stage. Or you should. You need to, because, we're all gonna die. We're all changing and getting older, so we may as well learn to enjoy where we're at and feel beautiful and feel important and feel in connection. So
absolutely.
Yeah. Well, Lena, I would love for you to share where our listeners can learn more about you, and I think you've got some free resources you want to share as well.
Absolutely. My blog is called midlifewithoutcrisis.com. And I mentioned earlier that I have a Facebook page of that name that also has goodies on it. I also have a site called ninaprice.com. So I have a couple of sites. On the Midlife Without Crisis page, there is a free download for you. And it's an ebook. It's called Save the Day, Save Yourself, A Midlife Superhero's Guide to Success. One of the things that I notice happens to people a lot in midlife is they're so busy taking care of everybody else that they don't take care of themselves. And so that's what this addresses.
Cool. That's awesome. And so people can work with you locally and on Skype. Can you tell us a little bit more about that?
Absolutely. So we talked a little bit about getting rid of depression without pharmaceuticals. I definitely do that. End depression naturally is what that's called. I also studied with Julia Ross, who does the mood cure and the diet cure, and I absolutely do her work, whether it has to do with, usually it has to do with moods or getting off antidepressants or benzodiazepines. A lot of people want to get off their prescriptions, and I don't blame them. Honestly, there's so many things you can do without prescriptions. And I know Bridget can help you with that as well. In her practice, she does work of that sort as well. Is that true?
Yeah, although, I want to caution that any time somebody wants to come off of medication, especially one that affects your brain, you need to be supervised by your, prescribing physician. And, we often need to have, a relationship to do that nice and safely. So I definitely agree. And a lot of people just don't feel right about being medicated. But if it's something you're already taking, you need to kind of proceed with caution.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So
cool.
I definitely do that work, and I definitely work with women around any midlife issue, whether it's a relationship kind of issue that has you down, or whether it's relationships as in, who am I now that my kids have grown up, that my spouse has taken a hike, that my parents have passed on, that my career has ended, that I can't seem to get a job. Those are the issues I definitely work with women on. As a coach, I spend a lot of time coaching people who are trying to figure out what's next for them. Who am I now? And what's next for me? Those are definitely questions. And many people, I find, have big ideas that they want to pursue, things that really matter to them that they've always wanted to do but somehow have never made time for, or that have shown up now and they want to do that. And I love to help people cultivate their big ideas and turn them into reality.
That's great. Yeah, we should mention you're an acupuncturist, you're a coach, you probably have a handful of other titles there. So some well-rounded skills.
Well, I'm always saying these days that I'm a professional problem solver, and I like that. What I love about my work is solving problems.
Great. Well, here, yeah, so everyone, here's another resource for you. We'll put both of Nina's links on the show notes. And we thank you for listening. We would love for you to subscribe in iTunes, or you can subscribe on your Android app, your podcast app, so that you get the next podcast and weekly podcast from us. We've got a lot of great topics coming up this year. So thanks to everyone listening, and thanks again, Nina.
My pleasure, Bridget. It's always a pleasure to talk to you.
Yeah, me too. And well, maybe we'll have you on again sometime. And Happy New Year. Good luck this 2015. And until next week, goodbye, everyone.